Thanks, John. I feel honored. Typically, the last person that speaks in a session is talking to the moderator and two of the other speakers that are too ashamed to leave. And so I feel honored. I'd like to acknowledge my cohorts and co-authors who spent a lot of time riding in a cotton picker and analyzing data, Cotton Incorporated for providing financial support for this project, Case IH and John Deere, they helped us with information and identified the many producers that we rode with. And the producers themselves, we spent some long days together. People riding up and down the roads think we were dating, we were with them so much. So it's kind of interesting. But if any of those producers are in here, we definitely appreciate it. And Bob, I will be forever indebted to you for that cold beer that you handed me after a 14-day hour picking. I want to start off, this is not an economic study. If that's what you came for, you might as well leave. We were charged to try to find picking efficiencies, and I guess define picking efficiencies and harvest capacities for the new cotton pickers, and then compare them with the conventional system. Data collection. We've been working on this project for several years, primarily going to talk about the 2008 data. This year, we collected data in four states on 10 farms in 28 fields over 29 days of full picking. The fields in Missouri, Arkansas, and Mississippi are more traditionally type delta fields. The fields in Tennessee, more like real world fields to us. And so we had three different type pickers this year. Three Case IH 625s, about eight John Deere 7760s, and at one time we were running a conventional Case 610 with the 625, but at no time this year did we ever run two different color pickers in the same field. Data collection. In a couple of weeks, my boss is going to ask me, what did you do in the month of October? I will tell him I rode in a cotton picker. I rode in a cotton picker a long time. I have made the observation that the urge to drive a cotton picker far outweighs any urge known to man, and that includes sex. Because the guys I rode with love to pick cotton, and we pick long days. Thank God for heavy dews, because I would have seen the sun come up, the sun go down, and the sun come back up before we quit. We rode in that jump seat with a laptop computer in our hands and an external GPS receiver. We were logging a GPS NEMA string every second. This gave us a latitude, longitude, or a location in the field, any place, any time throughout the whole long day. And the operator was in there trying to type code changes. Anytime we had a harvest operation, we typed a code change, you know, begin row, end row, begin unloading, end unloading, begin downtime, things of that nature, kind of give us an idea of what harvest operation was going on at that particular time. The data was first brought into an Excel spreadsheet and kind of filtered and processed. Late at night, you're getting bouncing around, mistyping. Sometimes you just fall asleep and you can't remember to put a typing in, so the codes. So we came in and filtered it in the Excel spreadsheet and then brought that data into a GIS package. We used Esri's GIS package ArcMap. This gives us a lot of flexibility because not only can we look at visualization, and if you can, you know, kind of see, I've been staring at dots for the last month and a half, and these little green dots represent a location in the field, and the green dots mean we were picking. If you look at the bottom of the row, you'll see red dots, you'll see purple dots, you'll see about a half a million dots that we collected and have analyzed so far. Using the GIS package also gave us the opportunity to do some data calculation and data manipulation. We needed to know the actual travel picking distance so we could simulate or predict time in our simulation model. So it gave us quite a bit of flexibility. We can look at turns. We can look at the angle that it hits the turns. Downtime. How many of y'all are producers? I know there's some of you. Do you ever have downtime? you know, you're laughing. Well, don't feel bad. Everybody has downtime. And this has been kind of difficult for us to try to get a handle on when we start doing some data analysis. We're not quite finished, you know, even though we've looked at 500,000 dots, I think I've got about another 500,000 more to go. And so we decided to take downtime out for this presentation. The downtime's going to happen. You have minor downtime due to cleaning headers and greasing headers and doing, you know, service and maintenance, adding water, adding fuel. And then some days you have real bad days and hydraulic hoses bust. So for right now, the results that I'm going to present are going to be without downtime. And when we get all the downtime simulated, we're going to add some type of an average downtime. So the values that I present are probably going to be inflated. So keep that in mind. If you're looking to see what you might be able to harvest in an acre per hour with this, and you buy one, you'll probably be a little bit disappointed because downtime will reduce picking efficiency. Factors that influence efficiency. We try to develop a prediction model. At no time, again, did we run any of these pickers side by side. And so in these fields, we're trying to collect data with one picker and then trying to predict the performance of the others. And so we needed some values to go into that equation. So the first is the unloading system for the conventional picker. Based on the work that we've done in 2006, 2007, and a little bit in 2008, the average time to unload a basket in a conventional type picker came out to 2.6 minutes. The picker was in the row when his basket was getting full. He got on the radio. He called for the bull buggy operator. The bull buggy man pulled up next to him in the row. Unloaded. I'm trying to make myself say unload instead of dump, so if I start saying dumping, y'all know it's the same. He unloaded the basket into the bull buggy, dropped the basket, took back off picking. That's probably the most efficient way of unloading a conventional type picker. With the Case IH625, it's a little bit different. Now we've got a different unloading scheme, and we broke that into three different parts. You can see that, again, dots, purple dots. He's left the row, and he's moving slowly over to an area that he's going to unload that module. And we call that position to unload, that time from coming out of the row until the harvester has actually stopped in velocity. The unloading cycle consists of all of the time, or any of the time that was for compacting, raising the basket, unload or extending out the unloading ramp, slowly pulling up to unload the bale out of the basket, and generally most operators stopped at that point, lowered the basket and unfolded or retracted back the unloading ramp, and then took back off into the row, and that's the orange dots. If you'll notice in this unloading scheme, there's part of a turn coming out of the field and part of a turn coming back into the field. And so we decided if you've got 10 modules in this field, you have 10 less turns than you would for any other picker or if even you were riding a four-wheeler out in the field. So we decided to decouple the turn from this unloading cycle. And we looked at the various turns in close proximity to the module, calculated an average time to turn, and then we subtracted that off of the total unloading time. It does not change the picking efficiency. Essentially, it adds to the turning efficiency and lowers the unloading efficiency a little bit for or the Case IH625. If you look at the average time to unload for the field, it varied quite a bit, and this is operator influence. Shortest time was about 1 minute and 35 seconds, and this man was consistent, over 35 dumps, and we'll see him again a little bit later. And some folks took a little bit more time, all the way up close to 5 minutes. The average time to unload a Case IH625 half module was about 2.5 minutes, and we'll use this value in our simulation model. For the John Deere 77760, Basically, almost no time to unload. Most of the operators chose when they created a round module and put it on the handler or the cradle, whatever you want to call it, they carried it with them as long as they could until they got toward the end of the row. And if another module or a round module was coming out, they dumped it. Some dumped in the stalks. If turn rows like we have in Tennessee, they would come out of the turn row, get, pointed back in close to the rows to start picking, and they'd lay down the handler and the row would come off a lot of times until I learned how to get used to the buttons that they were pushing to lower the cradle. I'd have to ask, did you unload or not? The problem that we had with the John Deere is there is some downtime that's really not associated with any other pickers, and that's the time to change wrap. And so we made the decision to use this time to change wrap as kind of their unloading time. We had about 20 different instances of changing wrap in the field. Some had other downtime associated with it. Clean the picker, a man needed to take a smoke break because the owner wouldn't let him smoke in the cab. So we ended up with 14 times we changed wrap. You see where the range from 3.6 to 9.5 minutes. Average is 6.7. Per round module, 22 wraps on a roll divided 6.7 by 22. Every time a John Deere 7760 unloads a round module, we attribute about 3/10 of a minute for its unloading. Average load size, we collected gen data from all the fields we were in. You can see we've kind of standardized it to a 480-pound bale. The John Deere round module averaged about 3.74 480-pound bales. The Case IH half module at about 6.5. And the conventional module, what we found this year in our case, was about 17.8. When you divide that out, the values we use in our simulation model are going to be 1795 pounds of lint per unload for the John Deere round module, the Case IH half module, a 3125, and for the conventional, 3200. A little bit about what I'm going to present. It's kind of preliminary data. We've taken six of the fields that we've been in, cleaned them up, and I'm going to show you some results, kind of preliminary results. We still have several fields to go. Again, the data manipulation is just phenomenal. Fields that I'm going to show are range anywhere from about 13 acres, small triangular field, up to about 150 acres. Yields are going to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 2 and 2 3/4 pound cotton. Times are essentially three parts in this equation. We've got the time to pick, the time to turn, and the time to unload. The time to pick was calculated from this actual picking distance that we calculated off the GIS software divided by the speed. Turning is the actual time this machine and this operator turned in this field. We know the number of passes, we know what the total time, and we can get an average time. While some may argue that some makes or models may turn faster than others, I rode a cotton picker for a month, and I'll tell you, I think operator influence will have just as much as the make or model of the picker. So we chose to keep that time constant for all of our different scenarios in each field. The unloading time is calculated in two parts. First, we take the acres times the yield and divide that by the average unload size. Again, for the 625, that's 3125. For the 7760, that's 1795. And for the conventional, 3200. And you see we can calculate the number of unloads based off of that. We take that and multiply it by the average time to unload, and that gives us the total time to unload in each of our fields under the various scenarios that we've used for simulation. Holding speed constant kind of gives you an idea of the differences in the loading systems. And you look in this field, this 13-acre field, small rows on one end, a little bit longer on the other. You can look at predicted and field efficiencies. In this field, the 625 we predict will do 7.1 acres per hour, 77% efficiency. 7.7 at 83.5% efficiency for the 7760, and 71 at 77.2% for the conventional. Look at the difference between field one and field two. Field characteristics have a tremendous influence on the values that we see. As producers, when you make the decision to buy or rent a piece of property, you kind of set some of your parameters for your field efficiency. This 50-acre field, much longer rows, and you can see we're getting about a 6/10 difference in capacity, acres per hour, for field one versus field two for the 625, a little bit more for the John Deere 7760. And you'll notice that the conventional and the Case IH 625 are quite similar. And the reason why is the average unloading time and the average unload size are pretty daggone close. Now, we've been talking with some of the manufacturers, and we may be a little bit high on this 3,200 pounds, so we need to go back and really look at this a little bit more. Looking at the differences at these conventionals or this constant speed, and we see several things. I'll try to get the pointer. The differences we see between the John Deere and the 7760 and the Case IH 625, we're seeing somewhere around, 6% difference here and about 7-something percent here. We saw that across all six of the fields, primarily due to the differences in the unloading system. The John Deere looked to be about 6% to 10%, a little bit more efficient when we start talking about in the field, primarily due to the unloading system. What about first and second gear? We chose to take all of the different fields and simulate riding in first and second gear. Speed was operator choice. We did not dictate what speed. Many producers picked in first speed. Some picked in second. You can see the difference by shifting gears. You start to eat up a little bit more real estate. You're looking at this particular field. It's an 82-acre field. It has about two bale yield. We're looking at somewhere for the difference between first and second gear for the 625 at about 1.2 acres per hour. For the 7760, it's about 1.6, and again, about 1.3 for the conventional. So as you increase speed, you're going to eat up more real estate. For producers, if you've got heavy rains coming, you might want to eat up a little bit more real estate by shoving it into the next gear. A lot of the differences, especially in the higher differences that we observed, are coming in the fields with a little bit heavier yields. Again, our yields average anywhere from 2 to 2 3/4 bale cotton. And you're looking at the sensitivity of the two systems going from 1 to 3 bale cotton. And you can see in difference between 1 and 3 bale cotton, you've got to unload more. Now, folks, unloading more is a good thing because that means you're making more cotton. But the sensitivity of the unloading systems are in place. You can see going from 1 to 3 bale cotton, if I can get this up, you know, we found somewhere about 7 to 8% difference, a drop in field efficiency for the Case IH 625. We saw somewhere around a 1 to 2% drop in field efficiency for the John Deere 7760. Again, when you get into more cotton, heavier, you know, yields, your picking efficiency is going to go down. And it looks like the Case IH 625 is a little more sensitive to that increase in yield. But again, increasing dumps is a good thing. Not all of the influences and the differences I've shown are really attributed to the unloading system and primarily of the Case IH-625. Operator influence is there, and operators can have a major impact on that difference. I think they can trim some of that difference, and this is a prime example. This particular field we simulated, it was picked by Case IH-625. We simulated, he drove in second gear 4.8 miles an hour. We would predict that he would have 31.6 dumps and an unload time of almost 79 minutes, and that would give him a predicted field capacity of about 8.9. But this operator chose to drive a little bit slower, and speed is a factor. He only averaged over the day 4.4 miles. It was kind of wet in the morning. He went a little bit slower. In the afternoon, he did hammer it down a little bit more. I'm not sure. I didn't get to ride with him, so I don't know if he had full throttle or he might have needed to check his fuel filter, because he never got up to, you know, the advertised first or the second speed. But you see what he did. He actually had 35 dumps in this field, and his total unload time was tremendously lower than what we would have predicted. This man was able to come out of the field, unload a Case IH half module, and get back in the field in 1.36 minutes. And he did that consistently for 35 unloads. He got in and he got out, and that makes a tremendous difference, more so with the Case IH-625 than the John Deere 7760. I'm showing you two fields. The yellow is the actual what the producer or the operator did. In this particular field, you can see he ran somewhere around 7.5 acres per hour. But look how it affects if you start playing around at the end of the row. If he could drop his per unload time down to 2 minutes, which is knocking off about 30 seconds, you can grab a couple of tenths an acre per hour. And that's if you've got red pickers, one of these, that's what you need to be looking at, is cutting time off, because I don't think you can spend a lot less time in the edges. You can see this other one, have 4.4, and again, this was a guy at 1.36. Look what happens if he would have said, well, it takes me 3 minutes to unload. And you can see what, about 8 tenths of an acre are difference. So don't play around in the end of the row is the moral of this story. For the 7760, it's not as sensitive. 0.18 minutes about 4 minutes. I rode with a guy that changed wrap twice in the field, and he averaged 4 minutes. Fastest one he was. He never walked anywhere. He ran. He was quite impressive. I felt sorry for him watching him for 2.5 days, because as riders, we did not do anything to get in their way, or did we do anything to help them. So you feel kind of bad for 2 days watching a man work his tail off. And all you're doing is sitting in that little hard seat y'all call a jump seat. But you can see 0.36 minutes is 8 minutes to change a wrap, and you don't see a lot of difference between, you know, a couple of tenths, but you see more difference when you start spending more time in the ends with the Case IH-625. To conclude, and I know I've gone more than I need to, field characteristics have a tremendous influence on field capacities and field efficiencies. The time to unload, increasing or decreasing the time to unload, had a greater influence on field capacity for the Case IH-625 and the conventional picker than it did for the John Deere 7760. Increasing picking speed from first to second gear for the 625 and conventional, you can gain about 1.1 to 1.3 in the six fields that we simulated. I'm not saying you can get that in your fields, but if they're long and narrow or long rows, you're probably looking at that. John Deere 7760, you can get about a 1.2 to 1.6 by just shifting a gear. A reduced field efficiency is a function of yield. For the 625 and conventional, we're seeing about a 7 to 8% drop when you're going from a 1 to 3 bale scenario in the fields that we've looked at. With the John Deere 7760, about 1 to 2%. Differences in the harvesters, Everybody wants to know at constant speed. We saw across the six fields about a 0.6 to 0.9 acre per hour difference at a constant speed. At first gear, that rose to 0.9 to 1.3. A lot of that difference is due to that actual 0.2 tenths of a mile an hour difference between advertised speed versus the two manufacturers. In second gear, it rose slightly to 1 to 1.5. I want to conclude by saying that, again, this was not an economic analysis. Field efficiencies and capacity data are critical in these economic models, such as the one that Texas Tech has. There are many factors that need to go into consideration when looking at whether you're going to sell your conventional picker or whether you're going to buy a red or a green one. And these are the cost, the different costs of the machinery, the labor availability, fuel consumption, available farm machinery, wrap versus tarp cost, ginning rates, hauling cost, lint and seed quality, and I could keep going if he wasn't behind my back. I want to stress that you can't use the data that I've shown. It's only a part of the total system. Currently, economists are looking at our numbers and developing a model, so hopefully shortly you'll be able to input your data for your particular operation and get some numbers out and allow you to make an informed decision. This is the last session. I'm going to let him close it. If anybody wants to stay and ask questions, I'll have my colleagues come up here and answer them. I'm tired of talking. I will answer questions.
Thank you, Mike. This is the last presentation for this session. We have the Joint Engineering Systems and Ginning Conference session that will start after the break at 10:30. The break does, well, it did start at 10 o'clock, but
I'm sorry.
There is plenty of time for questions, and you're more than welcome to stay and ask questions.
He had a lower dump average. He had about 2884 pounds of lint per unload, and we were predicting the average of 3125. So he had a lighter load weight, but by being able to, once he got off the row, he got back in the row.
Could you assume that he was dumping not completely full of muscle?
He was probably, and there's several things, and if the producers are still in here, you might want to listen to some of this. Sometimes I have something good to say. There are some scenarios. As I've looked through a half a million dots, I have seen some trends and things that I think can be used as producers to get a little bit better feel for how we might trim some of these, you know, numbers. Getting in and out of the field. A lot of times when a producer got to the end of the row, he had to make a decision. You look at your weight, do I have to unload, or can I turn around and make it back to the other end? And a lot of times, we know, after you spend 2.5 days with a guy, you get pretty friendly with him, and we start betting, you know, can you make it, can you not? You know, my feeling is turn, go back in the row. And some of the producers did. They went back in the row, and then you start watching your monitors. And then you get to a point where it's a kind of a point of no return. If you can't make it all the way to the other end, then you watch and then you just turn back around and go out the same way you came in. Deadheading should be illegal for you folks. Deadheading wastes your time. And so what I plan on doing is, after I catch my breath and analyze a few more fields, is start looking at scenarios. Take a field. I know what the yield is, and if I say our average dump is 3125, well, what if I take it to 3500? I'll be able to find the distance. And I say, okay, you can probably in this field with this average yield go here, but now what do we need to do? If you look at increasing unload size by 300 pounds, every 11th dump gets you about a freebie. Now, you also, if you do the turn back in, pick a while, and then turn back out the way you came, you're adding another turn. And so I'm not sure in the whole scheme of things, are you saving a lot of time when it takes an average time of about, you know, anywhere from 18 to 22 or 23 seconds per unload? You might not be saving anything. I think the time is savings is come out of the row, quit trying to find the most perfect, prettiest place to dump, put it down and get back in the row. If somebody can do it for 35 dumps consistently around 1.36 minutes, I know it can be done.